or Radio Catskill.
Welcome to the local edition on a Friday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Thank you so much for joining me on this program. In the second half of the show, we'll tune in and hear some tunes from the Hartman Sisters as they have a special holiday concert happening on Saturday. But first, it's Friday on the local edition, and every Friday we talk to the one and only Chris Rowley from the Schwanquak Journal. Thank you so much for joining me on the program, Chris. Let's start about a big story I heard about one of the school districts. The Roundout School District is hiring armed guards. Are these different from like an outside company, or are these guards just basically SRR officers?
No, they're coming from ACE Security. Let me just check that. I've just got to pull up the story again. The name there, make sure I get it right. It's armed guards, elementary schools. These are going to be armed guards in the elementary schools. No, it's Atlas Security. They're down in Goshen, and they're a well-known firm. They've been protecting school districts for about 32 years. They're already in Saugerties. They do Ulster Boceys. They're highly recommended. So the thing with this is that the sheriff, Ulster County Sheriff, does not have enough to do more than just double the SRO at Rondette Valley Schools. And for people who aren't familiar with that particular school district, here's how it goes. The central campus, which is a bit sprawling on its own, is off Kaiser Reiki Road. It's just outside of Accord. And it's got the high school there and the administration block. And then next to that is the middle school. And they've had one SRO there. And you can see the one SRO just about can handle that. But they're going to have two now. And then they have an elementary school several miles down the road in Cahonkson, and then they have another elementary school, Marbletown Elementary, several miles further up the road, i.e. towards Kingston in Marbletown. Now, this Stone Ridge, Marbletown, has no police. They depend on state police and sheriffs. Therefore, if anything's going on, the response time getting state police, sheriffs, whatever, to either of those schools could be anything from 5 minutes to half an hour, because after all, state police spend a lot of their time driving around the area that they're covering. They could be way off up towards the reservoir or up on the mountain, and some call comes in and something is going down. So they're not going to get to Marbletown or Cahonkson Elementary in the same kind of time that, say, Ellenville police will get to Ellenville schools. Ellenville police have practiced this over, and they've got it down. I think they've got it down so it could take maybe less than a minute, because they're only that far away and they know where they're going, what they're doing, if there's ever anything. So far, while I've been covering this thing for the last decade or so, there's just been an occasional report of something like somebody with a rifle, but actually it turned out to be not a rifle, but a broom or something. But whatever, the point being that the people are aware, they're hyper aware of this kind of issue, and Ellenville police are on it. But Rondette Valley is in a different situation, sprawling campus, two elementary schools, miles from the high school. They're going to bring in Atlas Security, and Atlas Security will be have a person on site at both elementaries. I spoke to Paul Spadaro, the relatively new superintendent of schools. We had a good conversation. He's got a lot of experience, 20 years. He's come up from South Carolina. He's having his first Christmas snowstorm. He might even have a white one. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's really used to, but he will. And we had a short conversation about tires and what you have to do. But more important than that, this is happening. The board has approved it. That's the school board. They've approved it. And these officers will, or these security officers, will take up their positions. And the elementary schools will at least have that coverage. So they will both have. And Atlas Security people are very trained and very experienced. and we'll be aware of whatever might happen. The kids will get that level of protection, which is a sad, horrifyingly sad thing. But in a country that's now dominated so utterly by the more guns lobby, and I'll just point out, I have guns, but rifles, but this is we have a madness here. With that going on and the tensions and the craziness and all the rest of it, this is an essential thing now. Everyone would want their students, their children, as protected as much as is possible.
Yeah, so, it's the unfortunate reality of what's happening. We're talking on December 20th, and it was not too long ago. Less than a week ago, yeah. There was another shooting in another school from another student who... So it's a reality, a tragic reality that we have to face. I'm a parent of a school-age kid, and it's something I think about every day. And it's tragic that my daughter is very young, and she knows the words lockdown and all this stuff because they have to run the drills for even the little students there. So it's heartbreaking to hear that, but it's necessary right now until things do change.
Yeah, until I'm not sure when that change is going to come, because there's a majority of the people or a very large angry minority of the population. That just will not see it for whatever reasons. They will not see that there's any reason or any use in having controls in place to prevent. For instance, was it a 15-year-old? I think it was a girl, 15-year-old girl. Some beef, who can say, drove her to take a pistol to school and shoot. Was it a teacher and a student? And we have no idea why, because of course these things are all hidden until we get a court case. But back in the day with school, because my school is a completely different world to go to school in this country at all. But back in the day, at schools, right, if there was a beef, if something was going on, somebody was picking on somebody and somebody decided to do something about that, there'd be a fist fight. And maybe someone would get suspended, or maybe both would be suspended. But and maybe it would sort itself out. And in some places, if it happened again, maybe the students would be taken aside and say, look, you're going to settle this, or you've got a choice. Either you're going to get expelled from the school, or you're going to put the gloves on and get in the ring with a coach, athletic director, and making sure you don't get hurt and work it out. You're going to punch each other silly. That's way back when. Now no one will be allowed to do that. But yeah, I got to think that sort of thing, or some sort of violent de-escalation process, is probably required. But it costs money, and school budgets are already stretched and tight, and I'm not seeing that likely to happen. So until something like that does happen, firms like Atlas Security from Goshen, Orange County, do have plenty of work ahead. And SRO, school resource officers, are an essential requirement in this day and age. And, of course, we've seen the horror when certain people like this discovered that they haven't done the job and there's something going on, and then they're afraid to go in. They can't have that. That's the other side of it, is that these people that are called upon to protect our kids in the schools will have to put their lives on the line, maybe. Yeah. That's going to be like with police. Every time they go out in the morning and get in the car or whatever they do, they have in the back of their minds, they've got that understanding that this might be the last day. That it could happen. It's not that often, but it can. And they have to carry that with them. And it's part of the reason they get paid a reasonable amount of money. It's just a weird thing. And people go on and on about how they need guns to protect themselves. But I always point to the fact that in countries that don't have guns, say Great Britain, where there's hardly any guns, the amount of murders and the use of guns is like minimal. It's very small. In Japan, even more. And if you commit a crime with a gun in countries like that and they catch you, whatever, the penalty is extreme because they are enforcing this idea that, you know, but there's still crimes, there's still killings. There's a lot of knife assaults and stuff like that. Human beings are violent animals, and that's always going to be the case. But anyway, so this is one of those difficult and tragic situations, and that's what it is. But I do think that Superintendent Podaro and Rondout School Board have come up with probably a pretty reasonable solution. They've increased the Ulster County presence with the Ulster County Sheriff's presence, and they've got Atlas Security Services backing it up. There's protection now. fingers crossed, look into the sky and pray to the Lord that really we're not going to have any of that kind of madness here. Let's hope not.
Yeah, right? You look to the sky and see drones nowadays. But yeah, I don't want to digress on that. But have you seen any drones in Ulster County or by you?
Drones? No, we have not heard of any drone reports in Washington, Marbletown, Rochester. I'm not so sure about Crawford because that's the land of UFOs. But
yeah.
But our correspondent, Tim Michaels, will tell us if he hears if they're suddenly showing up. But no, so far, no drones here. However, I looked at footage that were obviously jet aircraft with the red lights on the back and the front, and
yeah,
the white lights on the front. And that's not a drone. That's a jet heading to Newark.
Yeah, I saw one recently flying by my house. It looked like a plane. It had the shape of a plane. But the only thing that was off-putting to me was that it was flying really low. And usually planes are going over me don't fly that low. But then again, I don't know. You know, we're looking into it at the same time, but just monitoring what New York State is doing. I know Governor Hochul got some equipment to detect drones.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But Kathy doesn't have enough on her plate right now. So
yeah.
She's got to do it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether I'd take a lighthearted approach to it or whether they have to really get serious. So far, I haven't heard of anything untoward happening because of a drone.
No.
I haven't heard of it attacking anybody. Or
No, I haven't heard of that either. I see things on happening in New York City, but I don't know whether I can validate whether the videos are true or anything. The only thing that has happened was there was some interruptions at Stewart National Airport in Newburgh because of the drones.
Oh, yeah. That's been the threat for more than a decade since the first drones appeared. Have drones flying around near airports, a very bad idea.
Yeah, it could be just a matter of fact. They mentioned that drones are now allowed to fly at night, and it could be just that now folks are flying their drones at night and people are seeing them now.
That's possible. That is possible. Yeah, having a drone is, I got to say, from the newspaper point of view, Shangam Journal, we have used shots taken from drones on a number of occasions because it's a great way to get a really nice photo of the scenery down below, or the village, or the town, or whatever. So there's a lot of like practical uses for it.
Yeah.
For drones, and I understand the passion of hobbyists. In a way, I see it as an extension of the model aircraft.
Chris, thank you so much for talking to us about the important stories like armed officers at the school district and keeping your eye out in the sky for the drones.
We'll be watching the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, Merry Christmas. Okay.
Definitely.
And happy holidays. Yes. Bye now.
Bye bye. Chris, thank you so much for that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to talk to the Hartman sisters about a cozy Catskill holiday review concert is happening this Saturday at the DVA. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
I think it was pretty clear that this particular piece of legislation was on life support once Elon started tweeting, frankly. We heard from Republicans who were whipping votes on this, that they knew that they were hemorrhaging votes every time Elon tweeted.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Hello, Graham Rice of the Waggle Load of Monkeys here with news about your favorite folk music shows on Sunday afternoons here on Radio Catskill. Folk Plus, our long-running thematic mix of contemporary folk music with Angela Page, is moving to 2 p.m, the hour before my show. And the best of Irish and British folk music on the Waggaload of Monkeys follows at 3. It's a new year and a slightly new schedule, starting January the 5th here on Radio Catskill.
Without ceremony, we were only wishing.
Welcome back to the Local Edition. On a Friday evening, I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. That song you're listening to is from Odetta Hartman, one half of the Hartman sisters. And the reason we're playing that song and featuring the Hartman sisters this evening is because the Cozy Catskill Holiday Review is coming up on Saturday, December 21st. There's a family-friendly show happening at 1 o'clock and a grown-up show happening at 5 p.m. So we have on the phone with us now, Camila and Odetta Hartman. Thank you both for being here on the show. So you're performing on the first day of winter, December 21st, this Saturday. Just tell us what folks can expect for this family-friendly show and what can they expect for the grown-up show in the evening.
We tend to make our family-friendly show a little bit more focused on like storytelling and holiday traditions. It's definitely not just for kids, but we have younger audiences in mind, and we've had plenty of adults come who still enjoy it. My sister and I are both music educators as well, so doing this family-friendly show is really a chance for us to tap into our other parts of our life and the other spaces where we bring music to different communities. So it's really fun to have the opportunity to do so. And we're so excited that this year DVAA was able to partner with the Test and Youth Commission so that kids can get in for free. We're hoping that people will bring the whole family and groups of friends can come together and just make a really fun festive afternoon out of it.
Wow, that's awesome. That's definitely new for this year. And it's great that you have that partnership with the Tustin Youth Commission. How did that partnership happen? How did that meeting happen?
Ariel from the DVAA, with all of his amazing community connections, has always been brainstorming ways to bring as many local partners into this show. And it just worked out perfectly this year with the Tustin Youth Commission needing to add one more fun festive event for our young patrons this year.
I'll add that my sister is a relatively new mom and has been really connecting with the moms community of Sullivan County, and I think has helped us envision what this show should be and just wanting it to be as accessible to families with young kids as possible, because families always need more things to do and keep their little ones entertained, and we're excited to create a space for that.
Absolutely. And congratulations on becoming a mother.
Thank you. My baby has been, she was present in the womb for the first show, and last year she was rocking out front row. And this year she's dancing and jumping, so she'll be there to lead the other friends in the kind of interactive elements.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Like I said, she was there for the beginning with you. So that's great.
Oh, yeah.
So if folks who've never been to one of your shows, how would you describe it? Because you're describing it as a retro style variety show. So how would you, I guess, tell someone, say, hey, what this show is all about?
We grew up in a very enthusiastic Christmas household. We spent all of our Christmases growing up in Coshocton Center, right next to Narrowsburg. And music was always a really big part of that. Our parents had a huge music collection of holiday CDs and tapes and records. And we just fell in love with this history of Christmas music as a sort of genre of its own. Plus all of the movies, our parents were filmmakers too. So we grew up watching all kinds of movies, and just all the kind of like media around the holidays have always been such a huge source of inspiration for us. From It's a Wonderful Life to Pee-wee's Playhouse Christmas Special, there's a great Jewel Christmas special from TV. And we, as we got older, we realized that our dream was to bring all these sources of inspiration together. And that, especially that like old Hollywood glamour kind of Christmas aesthetic. We love dressing up and just having an excuse to make it feel really special. It's not as easy to find in day-to-day life. So the holidays feel like a really fun time to just pull out the sparkles and have a ball.
I know. I remember your first one. I took my daughter there and she had a blast at the Cozy Catskill. Mm-hmm. So it's a great fun time for the family. That's great. And one thing I want to touch on, when I first spoke to you, you were in the process of building sort of an artist residency type of deal where folks, artists can come in and live and work. How is that project going?
It's definitely still a developing story, but it's very intimately connected actually to this variety show, because our dream is to bring a special guest up to the Sullivan County area and also to create collaborations with local artists and makers. And we've been able to do that in this show. We bring a house band up from New York City, and then we always have special featured guests, including the incredible Brett Kaiser from NACL, who always stuns, that's my little creature chiming in. Brett always stuns with his original theatrical poems. And we had the opportunity to do a summertime show at NACL for the another kind of pagan solstice. This year, of course, we're doing the show on the winter solstice. And throughout the year, we've had different musicians and artists come up to Ladybug Land and do songwriting retreats, do recording sessions. We even, Camellia spearheaded launching a dinner series, which was really exciting. We had a guest chef come and cook all local veggies and trout over an open flame. And then we had the Ladybug banquet table set up and featured live music and poetry and great conversation. So we have these different projects and endeavors that we are launching, and we're really excited to just keep growing the project and bringing people in from the local area and also cross-pollinating with our amazing community from the city.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned, like I said, some of these are going to be some of your special guests there. Right? I know at the family one, you had some holiday special guests who popped up during the show. Can some of the kids expect that this year also?
Absolutely. Brett will be performing at both shows. And through the show that we did at NACL this summer, just continuing on Odetta's statement on our community expansion, we were put on a show at NACL with a performer named Kazri Jackson, who we didn't know before that night, and were absolutely blown away by her poetry and singing and storytelling. And this was in August, and we said, all right, we need her on the Christmas show. So throughout the year, we're always thinking about how to continue fostering these relationships. So we're thrilled that Kazri Jackson will be joining us on both shows as well. And the local troupe, Flirty Riot, will also be sending a member of their performance ensemble named Mina. We've been hearing so much about Flirty Riot. They've been doing shows all around Narrowsburg that just seems so fun. And they have imagined family-friendly version of a performance and then maybe a little bit of a spicier version for the evening. So we're really excited to have these three guests doing both shows with us and adapting for the different settings. And who knows, maybe one or two more will pop up in the next couple of days. It's just such a delight and a highlight for us to bring different kinds of performers into our group. We've had storytellers in the past. We've had singers. We've had instrumentalists. So we're always looking for more folks to join us in this. And yeah, just continue growing those relationships throughout the year.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, anybody tuning in to our favorite radio station, WJFF, if you would like to get involved, please reach out to us. Best way is Instagram at ladybug.land or our website, ladybugland.co. We are so eager to connect with all of the creators locally. It's been so thrilling to witness a scene developing. We've grown up in Coshocton Center our whole lives, and it's just really exciting the energy that is building around different kinds of performances and events and new spaces. And we're really excited to connect with you. So definitely, if you're hearing this, please drop a line and say hello. Yeah, or come to the show and say hi there.
Yes, that's also an option there. Cozy Catskill Holiday View is happening this Saturday, December 21st. There's two shows, a family-friendly show happening at 1 and a grown-ups only show happening at 5 o'clock. For more information and tickets, you can visit DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org. We're talking to the Hartman sisters, Camila and Odetta. Thank you so much for talking to us. And again, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much, Patricio. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And Odetta, again, congratulations on motherhood.
Thank you.
And that does it for the local edition on this Friday evening. We'll be back on Monday. We'll do this all over again. Thank you so much for joining us on the Friday. Thank you to my first guest, Chris Rowley. And of course, thank you again to the Hartman sisters. If you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast. And go visit our website at wjffradio.org to see all the interviews that we have done in the past and to sign up for our newsletter. And in the studio, I have a special guest with me, the one and only Lucy. Lucy, you have a message for everybody?
Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Happy New Year. Bye.
We'll leave you with another song. This is from Camila Hartman called Elise, I Got My Baby.
I'm Aaron Hicklin, WJFF's resident bookworm. If you're like me, you'll be hunkering down with a good read over the holiday, perhaps even one we've discussed on Shelf Life. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Public Radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. From all of us at Radio Catskill, we wish you a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.